If you would, until you're recognized for a question. Today we're going to do a workshop on sponsorship. We're leading off with our speaker, Tina. And then we're going to do Q&A. We'll have a little break. And then we're going to have a panel of three sponsors, long-term people who have different sponsorship styles, different ways of sponsoring. And we've got a fishbowl of questions. So everybody has little paper on their chair. If it occurs to you to ask a question about anything surrounding sponsee, sponsor, spawn, anything, we'll pass the fishbowl around. You can throw your stuff in and we'll ask our panel what their thoughts are on as veterans. I thought I would read us a Voices of Recovery from April 28th, page 119. We will no longer simply do what we feel like doing or what we think we can get away with. Instead, we will earnestly seek to learn God's will for us, and then we will act accordingly from the 12 steps and 12 traditions. I sponsor in a very structured and precise way that has a spiritual principle connected with each step. Step three is about commitment. Most compulsive overeaters find it difficult to keep their word. The first three steps relate to building a foundation with God and to rebuilding our houses. Commitment is crucial for the work that lies ahead in putting the house in order with steps four through nine. What I once was able to eat or do before I took step three is no longer possible once I sign the contract with my higher power. Something happens when I have crossed the threshold and can no longer deny the truth about myself. I become real, honest, and true. In keeping that commitment, I have left my old self behind and must be willing to heed the voice of the new recovering me.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Tina, if you will lead us off, and I forgot to ask you bio info. All I know is you're from Northwest PA and you're my you're oh, excuse me, and you're my age. So I'll let you tell your story. You got 20 minutes.
All right. Hi, I'm Tina, compulsive eater, anorexic. Grateful to be here and thanks you guys for having this. When I first got abstinent, I was told if somebody asked you to do service, you just say yes. So when Christy called, I just said yes. Now I haven't thought about what I'm gonna say, and I just told Annie that I don't have a, or no, I told Christy that I don't have a clue what I'm gonna say. But I know this workshop is on sponsorship, and I am a sponsor. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I sponsor people who sponsor people. And when I came in, my sponsor, actually, I'm also, and this is my story, I'm also in another 12-step program, and she was too. And so we came in working in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, or I did. So, when I got here, my abstinence date is July the 5th, 1999. So next Saturday, I'll celebrate 26 years abstinent. And I love what was just read because, today I have this life, oh, I'm going to get emotional, beyond my wildest dreams, which is the truth. When I got here, I thought you all were blowing smoke. People said that. I've got a life beyond my wildest dreams. I was like, yeah, right. Well, the truth is, when I get this power bigger than myself, who I choose to call God, I have had a transformation that came about through the 12 steps that gives me this life and this spiritual way of living that I didn't come here for. Didn't even think I wanted or needed. And today I know that I do need it. And, like I said, I'm not sure what I'm going to say. Over the years, I've sponsored many different ways. And, when I first came in, I don't think the Big Book was as relevant as it is today. Now, that may not be the truth for some people. But when I came in, there was a lot of the OA 12 and 12 going around, the OA workbook, which is great. And we've got great literature. I'm not against any of it. I've used all of it. But one of the things that when I got here, my sponsor wanted to know was what are these allergic, I call them allergic alcoholic foods that in my thoughts or what I think affect me, you know? And so today I ask sponsees to just make a list of what foods they think once they put them in their body, you know, because I have an allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And if I put certain foods in my body, it sets off this compulsion or obsession, that craving, that I want more. I can't have one. Doesn't mean that I'm going to have it, because, you know, I'm also an anorexic, and, you know, and I could, you know, still crave this stuff, but willpower myself to death and not have it for the time being. So, you know, what I like to do is to ask sponsees what they think their alcoholic foods are or allergic foods, just to give me a list, give me an idea of what we're talking about here. And I'm not a professional. I'm not a nutritionist. I suggest you get one, you know, because I, you know, maybe what I eat, you can't, maybe what you eat, I can't. I don't know. I don't know what you need, you know, is bottom line. There are certain things I don't eat. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat white flour. I don't eat wheat flour. Certain things I just don't put in my body. And I haven't had to. You know, what I've learned is once I don't put them in, I don't necessarily want them anymore, you know, after a period of time. So anyway, you know, I ask people to, you know, let me know that. And what I do is I share my experience, strength, and hope, because, you know, bottom line is I don't know what you need. You know, I know what works for me. I know the stuff that I do that I can suggest for other people to do. And I like for people to call me every day, just to, you know, especially if you're new. And I may not pick up every day, you know, but leave me a message. And if you need me to call you, say that, and I will certainly call you back. But let me know where you're at today, you know. And I suggest going to meetings. And if you're new, going to as many meetings as you can in a week, you know, whether it's Zoom. And now we have this great Zoom stuff, whether it's on Zoom or in person. But I really encourage people to get a network, you know, to get a network, because I am not God, you know, and I can't solve your problem. But in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it tells me that God will solve my problem. And I know that to be true today. And, you know, I'm trying to think, what else do I say? You know, I take, you know, my job as a sponsor, basically, which I believe is to take a sponsee through the 12 steps. I don't think it's anything else. You know, and a lot of people say, I'm not going to be your friend. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think if we're, you know, have a relationship for a period of time, we're going to be friends, you know. But I'm also not here to tell you what to do. What I am here to tell you is what I do, you know. And I was told, you know, in the rooms, it says, you know, if you see somebody who has what you want, and more, if you want what they have, rather, you're going to have to do what they do, you know. And, you know, and that's what I did, because when I got here, I had exhausted everything. I had tried everything in the book about this eating thing. Eat it, don't eat it, you know, this diet, that diet. And I had exhausted everything. And when I got here, there were some people that didn't have to act out in their food addiction. You know, and I wanted what they had, you know, and let me just, that's a lie. When I came in, I wanted the diet because I thought that was the answer, you know, and initially I went to treatment and I got this diet and I thought that was the answer. And it is, until it isn't, you know, and that was my whole life in eating. I was able to diet until I couldn't, you know, so I know when I got here, I couldn't just do this thing on my own. You know, and in the Big Book, it talks about we, and a lot of places it talks about we. I didn't really want to we this, you know, and, you know, because I really didn't, I don't know, I am, you know, today I'm more of a social person than I ever was, but I'm pretty much an introvert. You know, I'm pretty good on my own. Thank you very much. Or so I think, which is not the truth, you know, and that's why I have sponsors in several different programs. But, you know, I really believe that I need a network of people that can tell me, you know, how they're doing this deal, how they're living this life. You know, when I got something going on, you know, it's amazing if I connect with a power greater than myself, how he shows me people who have gone through the same thing that I'm going through, that give me a way to really deal with what's going on in my life. You know, what I like to get with sponsees, and you know, some sponsees, and just recently we've had a Big Book, we had a step study, and so some people that I sponsor have gone to that step study. But usually if I'm just picking up a sponsee in rooms, I like to get together and I like to start in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I like to read the book, and as the steps come up, we work them, you know. And initially there's a great step study. It's a green workbook that's wonderful. It incorporates the Big Book, the OA 12 and 12, and all the voices of recovery and for today. And it's a great step study. You know, I recommend that to anybody and everybody. I've done it a couple times and it's wonderful. And I actually have a sponsee who was the first time she went through that book and she said it changed her life. You know, and that's what we want here. You know, that's what I wanted when I got here. I wanted a different life. I really wanted to be a different person. And the truth is, you know, when I got here, people told me that the same person will eat again. That's the truth. Because the only change that comes about for me is working the 12 steps. And I'm no longer that same person, so that I don't have to eat again. You know, I don't have to. Now that's the important thing, but doesn't mean I won't. You know, what I have to do today is continue to do what I did yesterday. You know, I get up in the morning, I ask God to keep me sober, abstinent, sane. Throughout the day, I go, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? Because most times I don't know. You know, I think I know, but I don't know. And especially I'm retired now, which is a wonderful thing, you know, and I'm probably going way off, but you know, I got to most 12-step programs when I was 30 years old. That's when I first came to OA. It's when I first came to AA. And those are not my abstinent dates or my sobriety date. But what I do know is I thought I was going to die by the time I was 30. You know, I'm 67 today. I'm retired. You know, I own my own home. I own my own car. I'm in a relationship for 23 years. You know, all this stuff that when I got here, I didn't have any of that, you know. And it's just amazing. And I had a career that, you know, I was able to retire from, and the people were sad to see me go. Who'd ever thought? You know, and that's the truth. You know, people celebrated me, and that wasn't what it was like, you know, when I got here. And you know, so I guess, you know, the best thing I can say is that if you want this thing, you know, you got to take some action. You know, you got to be willing to do what you don't want to do. You know, I can remember, you know, a sponsor told me, Tina, it doesn't matter what you want to do, it matters what you do. You don't have to like it. You don't have to want to do it. Just do it. You know, and I found that to be the answer. There's a lot of things I don't want to do, and I just do it anyway. You know, I'm like, okay. And you know, and the fact is, when I'm doing it, I'm like, suddenly I'm liking it, you know. You know, I hate to say that, you know, somebody's giving me a call on the phone and I see, I'm going, oh shit, I don't want to answer the phone. Yeah. Cause I'm thinking about me all day long. But what I do is I answer the phone. And it's amazing. I get so much from it. You know, because I think, oh God, I'm going to be exhausted. Yeah. Poor me. But what I get is I get energized. You know, I become different. Even when I talk about that, because it's, you know, it's just the truth. You know, I'm all about me most of the day, not all of the day today, but most of the day. But when I can get out of myself and really try to be of service, and I ask that in my morning, you know, prayers. I ask God, God, what can I do today for the man who is still sick? And I'll be damned if he doesn't show me what I can do. You know, and I found out that when I ask for direction, I get it. You know, whether I'm really looking for it or not. And it's, you know, and it's about, you know, me being willing to take the action. You know, I've sponsored many people over the years. You know, a lot of people get it, some people don't. But what I do know is that, you know, just keep coming back. You know, I say this because I don't know if it's truth or not, because I'm not in the food today. But I always say, if I go back out, I ain't coming back here. You know, I don't think I am. You know, I don't know that if that's the truth, but that's why I just keep doing what I'm doing today. You know, I you know, today, you know, I have a food plan. I send my food plan to my sponsor. I do an 11 step at night. I send it to my sponsor. I have my sponsees do the same things when they're, you know, and again, whether I want to or not, because you know, I think accountability is a great thing. You know, because if I tell you I'm going to do something today, today, if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, but there was a time when I told you I was going to do something, you'd probably never hear from me again. But today I suit up and I show up. And I can only say that that's because of the 12 steps, you know, because of the spiritual awakening I have had. You know, and I always say this too, because I'm a person of more, I want more. You know, so I continue to do this stuff. You know, I reach out when I don't want to, but it's amazing when something's going on with me, the first thing I think is, who can I call? Who can I call? Because I can't stand to be in pain for very long. You know, something's got to take care of it. You know, and today I was telling the sponsee the other day, she had relapsed and she called me. And I said, you know, I don't know, we lost power or something and my generator didn't work. And I'm thinking, oh shit, we spent all this money for this generator. We lose power and it doesn't work. You know, and so I was telling her, it's just like, you know, Oh, I lost my train of thought. Yep. Oh, well. Yeah, but I was talking about this book. Oh, good call. That's it. That's it. You know, and so, you know, I can't. So what she said is, you know, I can't be in pain for very long. And so when something like that goes on, I go, who can I call? You know, and I called my sponsor. She didn't answer the phone. But I have many numbers in my phone that I could call. And I called somebody and I just talked about it, you know. And I said, oh, what I was thinking was I saying, because there are many things I can do to, you know, get rid of whatever the angst that I'm going through. And one of them is walking. And that's what I started doing. You know, I got out of the house and I started walking, and I'm walking and I'm walking and I'm trying, you know, I'm calling people and nobody's answering. Then a sponsee calls and tells me that she relapsed. You know, and it's just, you know, I get chills when I think about it because it is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. But it was only one meal that she relapsed on, and she was back the next day, you know. So I think that's a gift, a blessing, you know. And, you know, and I don't want to not talk about God, because this is basically what it's about. And you know, maybe not God, a power greater than myself. And I said this before, when I got here, I was powerless, you know. And what they told me was that, you know, if I started the work in the steps, that I would become, I would be able, I don't even, I forget how it said, but I would have a power that would work in my life, that I could get through the rest of the steps. So I like to talk about step three someplace, you know, to make a decision to go on with the rest of the steps. And that's basically what I did. You know, I just like, okay, God, because this turned my will in my life. I was like, this is pretty big shit here. Will and life, you know, but somebody told me that's just thoughts and actions. That's all this. And that made it pretty simple. I could turn my thoughts and I could turn my actions over. That was better than will and life. Like, damn. But I just went on with the rest of the steps. You know, and the reason I did is because the first time I got here, I stopped at step three and I went back into the food. So this time I thought, let me do something different. You know, I was always told if you want something different, you have to do something different. So I thought, let me just go, you know, work the rest of the steps. And people always say, if after you do the 12 steps, you still want to go eat, go for it. Well, by the time I got to the 12 step, what I was wanting, not maybe wanting to do today, I do. But when I got to the 12 step, my sponsor told me, now you put yourself out there to sponsor. When somebody asks you in a meeting, if you're available, you raise your hand, you know? And so I did that, you know, and I didn't want to be back in the food, because I had started to have this spiritual awakening that, you know, my life was getting better. Situations were getting better. I was getting better, you know, and that's what they tell me today is, it's not about all this getting better. It's about this in here getting better. And that's what's happening today, you know, through a power greater than myself, is this in here gets better. And how that happens is, you know, I give this thing away in order to keep it. And those are just things that people told me. I mean, I got nothing unique here. These are just things people told me so that I tell you. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's been 20 minutes. We've got five more minutes.
If you want to keep going, otherwise we don't have to.
Let's see what else I could talk about. Just, you know, that, you know, sponsees really keep me doing the deal, you know, because I don't want to call somebody and say, hey, I'm sorry, you have to get a new sponsor because I relapsed, you know. And that's what I had to tell a sponsee. She says, what do I do about my sponsees? I said, call them up and just tell them, you know, that, you know, you relapse, and maybe they need to get a different sponsor for right now, you know, because we're going to go through the steps again pretty quickly, me and this girl, and, you know, she can be recovered again. You know, it's just, you know, it is what it is, period. You know, but if I truly want this way of life, I will truly do this way of life. And that's probably about all I got. But, and I'm sorry if I'm all over the place, but that's what you all get today.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, especially that. And for showing up this morning.
Thank you.
We've got time for questions and comments from online as well.
In the back,
so you said you did the 12 steps through AA and that. See, I'm kind of just transitioning from the 12 steps of the big book. How does that look different? I'm getting ready to start doing mine.
Well, one of the things that was just told to me is that where it says alcohol in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I put food.
So do you just kind of replace it with?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just look at my experience with my eating as opposed to my drinking when I work the steps in Overeaters Anonymous.
The hardest thing for me is like, how do I transfer that over?
Yeah.
A lot of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
you know, are pretty easy to kind of recognize.
Yeah.
Food behaviors are a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I try and do. And to the best of my ability, because initially I did struggle with that. I struggled a lot, you know, because, and the sponsor said, well, scratch out the word, put in food. And I would still read alcohol because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I thought it was more glamorous to be an alcoholic than it is to be a food addict. I don't know what that's about. You know, I was falling down in jail, fighting drunk, but I thought it's more glamorous to be, you know, in OA. You know, I really did. I thought, oh, hey, dear God, that's the last house on the block for sure. But that's what saved me, because basically I was sober 7 years and I was still in my food addiction and I wasn't living happy, joyous and free. And I am today. And that was my core addiction anyway. Food is my core addiction. I had that when early on in my life. So that's,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What was the name of the book you mentioned, the green 12-step book? Absorbent.
Yeah, it's
repeat the questions. For the people online, thanks for showing up. The question was, what was the book that Tina recommended? Okay. It's the green 12-step workshop and study guide. And I've got an announcement about that at the end of the show.
And study guide. It's a green spiral. You can get it on OA.org. Oh, and we may even have it here. She got it right there.
You can take a picture.
Yeah, there it is. She has it.
I think that
thank you.
That Debbie.
And yeah, I'm going to announce. Yeah, at the end.
Welcome.
Does anybody online have any questions, comments? No? Okay, anybody here? I'll ask the question, and I'm going to re-ask it when our whole panel is intact. I never thought of this. So you've got a sponsee who calls you immediately. One slip, she calls you immediately. Oopsie, help me, I slipped. And then she asked, what do I do about my own sponsees? So now the sponsee has sponsees. When is it time for the sponsee who called you? When do you know it's okay to say, you seem strong again, throw yourself out there?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm having her do, she's doing 1, 2, and 3. So she's going to do another inventory.
Okay.
And then we're going to over the inventory, and then if she needs it. And I don't think she needs to make an amends. I don't think she's got any 8 and 9 stuff. It's probably a lot of stuff that she isn't sharing.
Yeah.
You know, and so probably pretty quickly, like in a week, you know, I'm thinking in a week. You know, she already texted me this morning. She did all the writing. She's done. We just need to get together, you know, because she's, you know, she was 5 years abstinent, you know, and she was really doing really well. And for whatever reason, you know, I'm not sure what it was, but, you know, from some of her writing, we'll get what it is. And it, for me, what I do know is when I keep this stuff inside, mm-hmm. you know, I get this soul sickness that I got to do something about. And if I'm not going to tell you, and if I'm not going to take any kind of constructive action, I'm going to be in the food or something, because I can't live with this soul sickness anymore.
So you basically, you've already created a relationship and you kind of figure out how far gone she may be.
Yeah, we'll see.
And you just use your feelings and the materials you guys discuss or whatever.
Because, you know, it tells me in the literature and stuff that, you know, after, you know, and in LA it's different too, because a lot of times, you know, we sponsor up to the level of our experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Somebody is, you know, if I'm on step 5, somebody's on step 1, that tells me in OA that we can sponsor them. That's not the way I do it. But I also say that, you know, you can be a service anywhere in Overeaters Anonymous in any time when you first come in, you know, set up the chairs, you know, take down the chairs, do, you know, something. But, you know, I don't know. I guess with over the years, you know, this is the way that I, you know, and I've asked people about it. What do you do when something like this happens? And that was a suggestion that I got, you know. We're really pretty much all on 1, 2, or we wouldn't come back in, you know. I wouldn't come back here and say I need some help again if I didn't come to believe that something bigger than me was going to restore me to sanity, whether it is God or at least OA, you know. I don't come back in. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just making that decision to go on with the rest of the steps, and, you know, with 4 or 5 after you've already done it and you don't really have any type of amends and stuff like that, I think it can be done pretty quickly. I really do. And I think that from my perspective, that she needs to stay away from her alcoholic foods for quite a period of time, just from my own experience, because I know if I'm going to start eating all this kind of food, I ain't going to be wanting to help you. Let me just tell you. I mean, that's just the truth, because I'm so selfish and self-centered. If I'm the food, I don't care about you. I just don't.
Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Question?
My name's Tori. I'm compulsive overeating. Something that I was thinking about with the sponsee of mine when I was talking to the other night was what's the difference for, I know the difference for me, and I shared it with her, but the difference between a slip and a relapse.
Okay, so somebody over here wants to know when a sponsee asks, and then the sponsor herself is thinking, what's the difference between a slip and a relapse? And we've got Alicia online after that.
Personally, I don't think there is a difference. I think it slips, sobriety loses its priority, relapses, you're in the food. I mean, that's my own opinion about that. I mean, somebody else may have something different.
Thank you. Okay, Alicia?
Hi, I'm Alicia. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you to everyone who's set this workshop up and is working on it. And thank you, Tina, got a lot out of what you said. So I can't go into a lot of details because of anonymity and stuff. I doubt that anybody would know this person. It's not anybody from this area, but a sponsee who loses faith in a higher power because of something that's happened. What do you do?
Okay, so the question was, if you have a sponsee who has lost faith in a higher power, what do you do? And we'll do that with our whole panel. That's an important question.
Well, I would probably have them read it, We Agnostics in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then to go back through their lives and see where there was evidence of a power greater than themselves. Even though stuff happens in life, that's not all stuff that, maybe a higher power makes happen. We all have our own will, and so I think humans make a lot of things happen that people blame God for. And so I would just have them read some literature. I would have them share with me why one instance would discount their lifetime, I guess, to really look at that. Even though it could be a major thing, I'm sure, like war is a major thing, but what one instance can really discount the whole lifetime of, when I look back on my life today, I see evidence of a power greater than myself all over the place. Now, I never saw that before I got here, but I see it today, and so what, maybe just have a conversation, and the bottom line is we are powerless, powerless over what other people think and do. I have no power over what a sponsee, and if they can't come back because of this, what I do know is that it's not going to get any better out there, and maybe that'll bring them back. That's just my experience with people that, and my own experience of being out there for 30 years or almost, it was just horrific. And I say this all the time. I never want to go back to where I was when I got here. I don't need, and what they tell me is this is a progressive disease. So that's 26 years ago. So, all that progression is, it's a lot worse than it was. So, I believe them.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else out there? Okay, there's a hand in the back. I'll repeat the question once she asks.
I could ask a lot of questions. You know, I just want to say thank you to Tina. She's been around a while, longer than I have, and I want to thank her for doing service by sharing today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a thank you to Tina for speaking. Okay.
I'm Marlene. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi,
Marlene.
I really think I know that, Tina's my sponsor, and I'm about the most rebellious pain in the I always have been since I was 10 or 5. And patience is what I see as a character. because it's, and I happen to be a counselor in real life, and sometimes it's so hard. I mean, especially I, you know, do the, you know, oh, yep, oh, shoot. But the thing is that I've got to, you know, always the St. Francis prayer. Mm-hmm. Where there is hate, let me sow love.
Mm.
Where there is misunderstanding, show understanding. I'm an addict. I am a true blue compulsive reader addict. Mm-hmm. I know it without a doubt. And really, the thing is patience, understanding, and then there will be an opportunity to jump in. And Tina's always been like that with me,
mm-hmm.
which I really appreciate very, very much.
Okay, if you guys did not hear, someone has stepped up and shared how patience, her sponsor being patient with her over and over and over, is what has helped a lot. Okay. All right. If nobody out. Oh, here's a hand in the house.
Christy Pupulsa Reader.
Chris Christy.
What Tina recommended, this is my opinion, of to read the agnostics if someone has lost their faith, because that talks in there, how's that working for you, mm-hmm. basically, to not have a faith, you know, and so then you can talk about what the situation was. And then, I just like what it says, you know, just try it, you know, so anyway.
Okay, so Christy had a, was, yeah, statement, comment on the importance of reading We the Agnostics, because if the sponsor asks the sponsee to do that, then there's an opportunity to discuss with the sponsee how does it work out if you, all of a sudden, there is no higher power, and you go, so how's that working for you? And maybe it can open up to a discussion about the things that were bothering the sponsee in the first place. And we have another hand in the audience.
Thank you for sharing. What are, like, with each sponsee, do you have the same thing that you would ask of them to do, like what you do every day? What are those things to help people stay abstinent and have their, you know, life beyond their wildest dreams? Yeah.
That was a great question. We hear, what are the things you ask your sponsees to go through? Is there a particular format you're using? And is it the way you learned yourself? Is that, am I right? Okay.
What are you doing on a daily basis?
What are you doing on the daily?
Yeah.
So that they're,
well, you know, I have my more regular morning meditation every morning. I have my prayer and meditation. And actually, initially with a sponsee, I don't say that. I ask them where they are in their, you know, concept or in their idea of what, you know, spirituality is or what their God is, you know, and if they ask, and I basically say to ask God to keep you abstinent in the morning and thank him at night. That's the initial thing. Okay. And then once we, and I, you know, again, I do that in the morning and I do that at night, and I have my own morning ritual that I do, you know, and at night I send my sponsor my food that I'm going to have the next day. And I send her my 11-step, my nightly review. And again, I ask sponsees to do that once they've already, I ask them to send me their food. Okay. But I ask them to do the nightly review once they get there. I don't do that initially. Some people do, but I was like, if you don't even know anything about it, let's not get that right now. But I, you know, I do that at night. And then in the morning, I do my morning stuff. And I ask people to, and I do this too, to make some phone calls throughout the day. I say three, you know, that's just what was told to me, make three phone calls, you know. You know, and I ask people to help other people to go to a meeting, and how many, actually I ask, how many meetings are you going to make this week? You know, and that's not, you know, it kind of varies with different people. It depends on who I see and who I don't. You know, I am a member of a international OA group. And so I sponsor people around the United States, not somebody that I just see face to face. So it just depends on where everybody is, you know, in their recovery. You know, I ask people to call people to make a to get a network, to definitely get a network, because you can't do this thing on your own, and I'm not God. Again, to get a nutritionist if you don't have one, if you don't have a food plan, get a food plan. What else? Meetings, the plan, talk with somebody. I think that's pretty much it.
Something like that.
Hey, you're welcome.
Okay. With that, we are going to take a 7-minute break to stretch our legs. And if you all in the in Zoom world have questions that occur to you as our panel is speaking in the next portion, write your questions down in the chat and we'll open up the chat. And you can also put, if you wanna hear from all three people or if you only wanna hear from one, and we'll go through that way. We have a bowl here of some questions already assembled for after the panelists introduce themselves. So I will see you all back in 7 minutes. All right.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
That was awesome. Oh, thanks. So I'm going to shut this voice off.
So Lynn, how are things in Space Coast? Oh, you were gonna get up. You were gonna get up and do something. Unmute yourself so I can hear you. I think they muted the camera for the room or the thing for the room. I'm not sure.
I was going to go down and write down that we're having a meeting Monday so I don't forget.
I'll send a reminder with the Zoom link.
Good. Good.
Probably send
Space Coast is fine. I've been on vacation for 2 weeks, so I've been visiting in Ohio and everywhere from here to there.
So, are you in Ohio now?
No, I'm home. I just got home yesterday.
Where do you go in Ohio?
Andover, which is at the Pennsylvania border, that's where my husband's mother lives.
Okay.
And then I visit all my friends from Cleveland, which is where I was from.
All right.
I have a lot of OA friends back there that I like to see.
Oh, yeah. Region 5, right?
Yeah. I was there for
Welcome
like 30,
back.
35 years.
Phoenix. This is yours.
Let's see. I'm going to try and get our three panelists all in the frame. We had,
Oh, wait a minute. Move it this way.
we didn't have success with the technology that we thought was going to work, but we have Jacqueline, we have Kathy, and Tina is back as our panel. And these are sponsors who are long-term veteran sponsors with different sponsoring styles. They're each going to talk briefly for 7 minutes or less about your specific style. Like somebody calls you up or they're in a meeting, "Hey, will you be my sponsor? How do you move forward with that?" And you've each got 7 minutes. And then afterwards, we have our little bowl of questions, which they can go through. And you all out in Zoom world, feel free to type out a question in the chat box, and we'll get to those when we're done. So these guys, we're going to go for, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. I'm not sure. It's Saturday morning. We're not going to be stressed out. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jacqueline to start. And I hope you all enjoy this.
My name is Jacqueline. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in recovery today by the grace of God and the help of the fellowship.
Yeah, Jacqueline.
June marks 40 years in the program consistently. But this is my third time trying Overeaters Anonymous. And even though I'm in the program consistently for 40 years, my abstinent date is August 4th, 1989, meaning that I took a while to get the message. And that is my sponsoring style. When I first came in, there was a sign on the wall saying, "Let us love you until you can learn to love yourself." Mm-hmm. And love is the key note, the key word for me. People do mess up. People do make mistakes. The big book on page 417 says there's a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us. We're all children of God, and we each have a right to be here. When I complain about you or about me, I'm complaining about God's handiwork. I'm saying that I know better than God. So I stick with people. Now, you might say I'm coddling them, but I have found that some people are more broken than others. Some people need more time than others. Some people a long time. And I know that some will say, "You do it or you go." So that's not my style. So if somebody calls me up and asks me to sponsor them, I say, give me time to consult my higher power, because I have always been given good orderly direction when I ask. But when I go out there on my own, things do not work well. So I'm very glad to be here. I'm very glad to be a part of the panel. And I'll defer to Kathy.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kathy, a compulsive overeater. And I'm going to try to speak loud enough for us. You know, we got boomers in the room that we need assistance for. We all are. First, I want to just make sure everybody acknowledges today's Jacqueline's birthday. And last week was Cheryl's birthday. So, and that is the essence of this program. You stay around long enough, you start memorizing people's birthdays. Much better than I memorized the fact that I was supposed to be here at 9 o'clock. And I was sitting there talking to my sponsor at 8. And she was saying, I'm going to come to Ashbury. And I'm going, oh, that's good. I haven't been there for years and years and years. And I was like, there was a, you know, that little boomer thought that was niggling in the back of my gray matter that said, why is that important to you? And then, of course, the reality hit me that it was because we're having a marathon today. But sponsorship is not a one size fits all. Okay. It's more than just, how do I say this? I find it to be more than what do you need as opposed to what can I provide? Because there is just a, you know, it's going to fit or it's not. And sometimes it's a trial by error, and sometimes it's just serendipity that people get it. I don't tend to sponsor newcomers only because I work, just like it's been expressed before, I work a couple programs. And I prefer sponsoring somebody that has the same thing that I do, that are suffering with a couple addictions and that are active in their fellowships, not just passing it for grace, but are actually active. And I'm going to tell you why that is, because I got the ticket really profoundly during the pandemic. I, as I said, I'm in two fellowships, and I came back. The first time I came back to the face-to-face meetings in my other fellowship, which is not a food program, I noticed, well, people were sober, but they had gained quite a bit of weight during the pandemic. And I'm like, okay, memo to self. Thank God that I was active in fellowship so that I could keep an eye on that, number one. And number two, you know, I don't like playing whack-a-mole with my addictions. I prefer to get them serviced on a regular basis by following up and doing service in my fellowships. And I encourage what my sponsor told me. My sponsor is a service hound, and she taught me to be one. And just like what somebody else said, they say, can you do this? And your first response is yes. Not, oh, can I do it? Do I know how to do it? Can, you know, what can, no, it's just yes. And then figure it out. And figure it out is what we've done in this program for decades now. It's not a one size fits all. I'm going to tell you something. I don't approach it as a one size fits all. Of course, that first question that I ask, if somebody asks me to sponsor them, is can you go until tomorrow without taking a compulsive bite? That's usually my first question. Are you willing to go until tomorrow and not take a compulsive bite? If they say yes, then we're in. So then it's give me a call in the morning. Let's see what your plans are for the day. And that's where we start massaging the program to fit them and them to fit the program. Because once we get some establishment on the foundation, which of as Tina spoke earlier, prayers and meditation, they come first. Even if I'm praying to a rock, I'm praying to something that's higher than my own. And once we've gone through that point, then the people are in. I'm a big book thumper in terms of it's not in the big book. It's just smoke and mirrors, because the big book tells us what, you know, big book for me was my most important book outside of the Bible. And
I have less trouble understanding Alcoholics Anonymous than I do the Bible. So that just tells you that I have to stay in my 12-step programs in order to understand the religiosity of that. Now, I don't require my sponsees to have any religion. I don't say that, oh, I can't sponsor you because you're Jewish and I'm Iranian, you know, which is the reality. All I ask them is not to bomb me while I'm not doing anything. But the point being that the sponsorship has to deal with the person. We've got a program of action. We've got tools that I use. And usually after I've got them for that 24 hours where they haven't taken that compulsive bite, then we review the tools. What tool would you like to use? So we really start on the micro. Just get them on the micro. I'm not getting them into the steps and the journaling and all that other stuff yet. Just trying to get them familiar. If I'm talking to them daily, which we do in the beginning, sometimes multiple times daily, but we do. We talk to our sponsees frequently, and mine are mostly, you know, now they're off running around doing things and doing service for others, and I appreciate that very much. But at the same token, I'm still getting those calls and say, can I talk to you? And I'm like, yeah, I'll listen. And then I listen. And a lot of times it's listening. One of the things that this program has taught me is that you don't need a PhD in order to work the program. All you need is just a willingness to just do the next right thing. And if that means reading a page out of the big book, if that means working your steps in our 12 and 12 or however we do it, we do it. And I'm kind of like a, you know, I have literally won awards nationally for can do it, get it done. I have this one reward that says, I got a reward for ambition because I was willing to do anything. Yeah, you want it done? When? Was the reward that I got. That I was, you know, they would say they needed something done. And I said, what do you want? When do you want it? And I would do it. But that in itself opened me up to people all over the world that need service. And that's what I'm here for, is to provide service and to steal service from my sponsor because she keeps me straight. They all do.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Tini?
Thanks. I'm Tina Kposvier in Rexic. That was a great question. Yeah, when somebody calls you and asks you to sponsor them, what do you do? You know, what I usually do is that I ask them if I'm going to meet them in person, let's talk about it, you know, because I want to know what it is that you think you need or want from me, you know.
Tina, can you speak a little bit louder?
I want to know what it is that you think you need or want from me. And also, if you're new to OA or if you're, you know, coming back. And I, too, am one that, you know, I stick with people. I don't fire people. And, you know, what my experience is, if they don't want to do the deal, they quit calling me. So I don't have to fire anybody, mm-hmm. you know. But I liked what was shared. There is no one size fits all, you know, in this sponsoring thing. And everybody is unique. I believe that to be true. I, too, like that it was talked, the tools were talked about, because initially, I don't think anybody, for me, my own experience is when we started working the steps, you know, I didn't have a clue because I was new. I didn't have a clue to what was going on. And I think I went through the 12 steps initially and didn't have a clue. I just did what they told me to do until I started to, you know, get some, you know, brain cells back and, you know, to really understand what this thing was. And I think today, you know, mostly I too sponsor people that have already been here, you know, for many years, you know, I don't know the last time I sponsored a newbie to OA, you know, especially locally. I think we all have been around for a long time, you know, whether we're in and out, coming back, whatever it is. But I think for people that have been around a while, you know, I go, let's get started on the steps. Because if you've been around a while and you're not staying here, then you haven't had a spiritual awakening and you need to. From my experience, that's what needs to happen. You know, and I don't know. I spoke a lot before about it, so I think I'll just shut up now. But that's about it for me. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Tina. All right.
Okay. Were you all able to hear? Thank you, Debbie. Okay, I'm going to go grab our fishbowl. This is what I'm so excited about, a fishbowl. Because the last time I did this, it was with 13-year-olds who had questions about sex.
Annie, there's a question online.
What program are we dealing with?
Still, we're still eaters.
Okay.
Somehow we lost the audio from the room. We don't hear anything.
I think,
Debbie, did you hear the question?
Nope, didn't hear the question.
Okay.
If you could start again, please. And then when you're finished, Lynn has her hand up.
Okay, so how do you balance sponsorship and being available to your own personal family? And Lynn, did you want to ask something before we hear answers? Okay, cool.
All right, so whoever's ready first, and will my two bookends here, please do your best to speak up because you guys have quieter voices, which I don't have in common with you.
Yeah, and I'm a member of the loud family too, so even speaking at a normal tone is loud. So, you know, I got to tell you that in the beginning, it does sound like a fairy tale, but in the beginning, I was horrible at that. I was sacrificing my family, who had already been sacrificed with my compulsive overeating and my other problems. And I was sacrificing time with them in recovery because I was working with others so much. And then that changed. And they, you know, and I recognized, as I matured in my program of recovery, that I needed to put as much time in my family as they deserve. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've stuck with me through thick and thin. And yeah, there's been pushback and there's been repercussions in my stuff. It's, you know, I've got a 30-year-old who reminds me of different points in our lives, regrettably. But at the same token, it's a reminder because now, you know, in the last 2 years, I've released over 75 pounds more of that 350 that I started with. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful. But at the same time, I'm also extremely respectful of what I have. Because those of you that know me know that I've been sitting in these rooms for years and decades waiting for the miracle. I've sat in this room so long. I was growing fungus on me, and it's just the Ashbury meeting because I haven't been here for like maybe 5 years or 6 years. And all of a sudden I'm like, I remember this place. I do. I'm not that old. I can remember. But anyways, let's get back to what the question was. And the question was, how do we balance? It's another part of our recovery. Practice these principles in all our affairs. And I basically had to bring my program into my life and bring my life into my program so that it was all. My family is around my sponsees because we'll have meals together and stuff like that. They, you know, they adopt into the family what we need to help our people. And that's what's important. Tina, you got anything on that one?
Uh-huh. Well, I'm Tina, compulsive eater, anorexic. And when I first got here, I didn't have a family. I mean, I'm from Pennsylvania, so I'm the only one from my family. At the time, I was the only one from my family that lived here in Florida. My brother lives here now. But so it was very easy for me to just put all my time and energy into sponsees. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's exactly what I needed to do because I had thought about myself for so long that that wasn't serving anybody. You know, and, you know, I like what was shared over time and practicing these principles in all my affairs and the traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, I am able to have a balance today. When I first got into a relationship, you know, my partner is also in recovery. She's in another 12-step program. So we kind of knew that, you know, we were going to be doing this thing outside of our relationship and to bringing it into the relationship, which is the good news. And that also has taken practice, practice, practice. And today, you know, I think the balance today is now that I'm retired, you know, I have more time during the day to help sponsees or to be of service to other people. And so when my partner's home in the evenings or a lot of times on Sundays, you know, those are days that I have sponsee calls. And that's just a lie because I just booked one for Sunday, but I forgot about that. But it's, you know, there's more of a balance today where I think about what's going on in my own little family as opposed to how I can just be helpful outside of my family. I think it is about, and you know, the longer I stay here, the more God reveals to me of how to do this thing, I believe, you know, because, and I don't get it perfect by any means, but I get backed up when I need to change something too. So that's all I got. And it's your turn, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline, compulsive overeater.
Jacqueline.
I am no children, never married. So when I first started into the program, I was attempting to sponsor the world, but that wasn't good for me or for them. Mm-hmm. So now I have limits, I have boundaries. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That was an awesome question. okay, question. Wait a sec. Lynn, your question.
Yeah, the area I'm from is really lacking sponsors. We just do not have enough sponsors. Very few people raise their hand at meetings, even when we have newcomers. And we especially don't have man sponsors either. Any suggestions on how to encourage people to sponsor or recruit?
Okay, so the question is, Lynn says there aren't enough sponsors where she lives, especially men sponsors. And does anybody have ideas on getting more sponsors?
Yeah. I'm Tina, compulsive eater.
Tina.
And that's, you know, basically a lot of the reason that I do Zoom meetings. Go on oa.org. You'll get different Zoom meetings. And I do a phone meeting that's international. And there are many men that have been covered for a long period of time on these meetings. And I have that information if anybody wants it. It's a 7 a.m. phone meeting Eastern time and a 10 a.m. Eastern time meeting every day, Monday through Friday. And it has over 4,000 members in this group and many men. And I know them personally that are able to sponsor and do sponsor and have great recovery.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
There's oamen.org.
Okay. There's oamen.org. That's just my experience.
I can also throw in that if you go to Region 8, they have a sign-in list online that you can fill out and to be a sponsor or a sponsee. And you say, like, what are your available days? What time zone are you in? Are you looking for a man or a woman? It's pretty helpful. Okay.
Statement on that?
Oh, and
that's okay.
We also have a statement. Go ahead.
Well, I was telling somebody earlier that it's so different now since the pandemic, because we used to come to this building
right
once or twice a week and we knew everybody, and somebody new would come in and go, oh, I'll sponsor you for 3 steps, you know, or something. And so we're